My next guest is one of the best criminal defense attorneys in the state. He's fierce, he's persistent, he tries cases, and he wins them. Pat Campanelli. I met him while he was working his way through law school, working as a bartender 34 years ago. Pat, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good afternoon, Karen. Good to talk to you always.
Always. Let's see how many of these we can get through. The Breonna Taylor case, of course, the Louisville woman, I guess I should say Louisville woman, who was shot and killed by police during execution of a search warrant, during a drug investigation. Two officers were not charged. One officer was charged with wanton endangerment for shooting into a windowed curtained window. Pat, what do you think from what we know at this point? Were these charges appropriate?
Well, the charges actually, according to what I read in the media, and of course we never know if we're getting the accurate results, is that the shots that the basis for the charges were into a different apartment than the one they were executing the warrant on. So I think that's the way the prosecutor is trying to make the difference that due care and the right of a protection self-defense did not occur or support no charges. I think the other two officers, they're saying since they were shot upon, whether or not they were rightfully there, they do have the right to defend themselves. And that's a question for the jury or trier of fact to decide.
Much has been made about grand juries and what was going on in this grand jury, and we're starting to get some of the transcripts and things from those proceedings. Are the proceedings in a grand jury just one-sided, and can a prosecutor manipulate the result? That's sort of what it was being said by some people who were being critical of this decision not to charge the two officers.
Yeah, well, the grand jury is a very low-level step to stop police or government to just bring charges without some showing of probable cause. But there was an old saying, and it's still around, that a prosecutor can get a grand jury indictment on a ham sandwich. You know, we always laugh about that. We learned about that in law school. It pretty much, a prosecutor only gets a no bill instead of a true bill being an indictment, a no bill being no indictment, is if he really wants a no bill to justify their decisions. Because remember, there is no cross-examination. There's no testing of the witnesses on the stand. The witnesses can testify to hearsay. And the only people in the grand jury, other than the grand jurists, are the witness, the state attorney or prosecutor, whatever district attorney type situation they have, and the court reporter. You know, so you got those people and no testing of the testimony. So prosecutors would have a 99.9% indictment rate, and that less than 0.01% would be most likely that they don't want the indictment. They want to get some other political organization like the grand jury to make a decision that they don't have to make a decision on a case that they may not believe that they can win in court or is not justifiable to bring charges.
Let's switch over to this Kyle Rittenhouse case. And this is the 17-year-old Antioch, Illinois young man who went to the protests up in Kenosha and ended up shooting and killing two protesters and wounded one. He's being held in juvenile detention in Vernon Hills, and Wisconsin is trying to extradite him. Can you explain to our listeners, Pat, what it means to extradite and what are the chances that a state will be able to extradite him to their state?
Well, when you try to extradite somebody, it's based on an arrest warrant of another state. In this case, what we would characterize this arrest warrant as an original warrant, meaning that it's not based on a case that's already pending in court where he fled the jurisdiction, but one where the state that is looking to extradite him back is basing it on the desire to bring charges against him. So most of the times, it's very hard to stop an extradition of a warrant. As an original warrant, though, if you're contesting it, you're looking to see whether the state that executed the warrant or had the warrant pending out there is, did they follow the Constitution, both the United States Constitution and the Illinois Constitution in this state, in protecting his probable cause rights? So have they had a hearing? And the one's called the Gerstein hearing and the other charges. So that's pretty much the only way you can contest it. They're not following the rules of the state of Illinois, in which the protections of probable cause would be satisfied in our state.
So, but, right?
But
just,
it's still a high burden.
So,
high
I mean, burden. Generally, defendants don't fight extradition. Is that fair to say?
Yes, because it's so hard to stop it.
It's so hard to stop it. So why is he doing it? And that, I guess that's my question here. Why are the lawyers in Illinois wanting more time? They say they want to fight it. They want to file more briefs. They want to do other things. What is the purpose? What is the strategy here that you speculate?
Well, according to what I read, and again, I was not an attorney on it, it's a writ of habeas corpus, meaning do not release the body. Obviously, they're saying that writ of habeas corpus is for the body. So for some reason, they're trying to say that the Wisconsin grand jury and state's attorney's office or prosecutor's office did not properly bring charges to show probable cause or reasonable grounds that he committed a crime, and that crime is a felony. Whether they win, I don't know. I don't know what they have that would in some way contest it.
There seems to be a rumor that if he goes to Wisconsin, he's going to be held in a facility that may not be a juvenile facility. I mean, I don't know if that's a rumor. I just, you know, you hear people speculate, but I suppose that could be part of it, that they feel that he is safer as a 17-year-old in a juvenile detention center in Illinois than he would in an adult center in Wisconsin. Could that be part of it?
That definitely could be part of it. What they may be saying is that we have juvenile protections that Wisconsin doesn't, that they were supposed to proceed in a manner that would protect the rights of an Illinois citizen. Remember, all of these state issues that we talk about have to do with the protection of states' rights, which were formed originally when our Constitution was made. States were attempting to arrest and convict people from other states for crimes that they didn't appreciate or that they wanted to enforce. So, again, it's a check to stop a state from arresting someone for political reasons and also for improper probable cause reasons that one state may have higher standards.
Got it. One more topic before we break, and we only have like a minute for this, but this is the A.J. Fron case. This is the case of the little 5-year-old boy up in the northwest suburbs who tragically died at the hands of his parents. The parents, I believe, are serving 30 years each for their abuse of the child. And now we have two former investigators from the DCFS who are being charged with felony child endangerment in the handling of the case. This is pretty unusual, isn't it? I'm not sure that I've ever seen this.
Well, it is unusual, and we have to look at these types of charges. These are charges in where you're being prosecuted for not acting. And most crimes, it's your act that is the basis for the criminal prosecution, obviously also your mental state. But when you have a charge where it is not acting, there has to be some kind of standard or connection. And in this case, what they're saying is by not acting, they endangered the child. But you still have to have knowledge that your action or inaction would cause danger to the child. So the defense here is obviously we didn't know. And it's actually a good defense. It's a high standard when you're forcing someone to act on information that you were given.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to follow up with this and then talk a little bit about some of the other cases that are going on. We're here with Patrick Campanelli, criminal defense lawyer here in Chicago. And you're listening to the Karen Conti Show. If you have a question for Pat, 312-981-7200, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, and then we'll be taking your legal calls at 312-981-7200. Welcome back. So if let's just say that I got mad at Roger Badish because he wasn't reading the news correctly and I murdered him. Just let's just say I would hire Pat Campanelli. He'd be the first person I call. In fact, he is on my speed dial because I just feel like I need to have some representation. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Once again, hello.
So let me just talk generally about being a criminal defense lawyer in this world. I feel like there's some kind of psychological cloud hanging over people in the city with race, you know, the race protest and allegations of police misconduct and looting and all of these things. I just read that September has been the deadliest September since 1993. With all of that type of unrest, how does that affect your job as a criminal defense lawyer when it comes to being in front of jurors? Are people believing police officers less? Do they want more law and order? Is it harder to defend people? What are you finding?
Well, you know, when we pick jurors and we ask them certain questions, we're looking for someone who will keep an open mind and understand that police officers are human beings, witnesses are human beings, and obviously even the defendant is a human being. And you need to make sure that they follow that presumption of innocence, because that's what this country is all about. Well, you know, we're not the freest country in the world because of all the laws we have that control everything we do. It. We're considered the freest country in the world because of our criminal justice system. That burden of beyond a reasonable doubt, that presumption of innocence, we need to make sure that people, even the ones that want a strong police department and people being held in jail, we just have to make sure that they understand that there's a presumption of innocence and that is the basis for our country. So when we look at jurors and we tell them or talk to them about it, we want someone who realizes that convicting an innocent person would also be considered a crime. So when you hear about all this unrest, the country and our Constitution protects individual. That's unlike any other countries where most countries protect the majority. So when we hear all about these crimes that are going on and all these other issues, these protests and the police officers not doing their job or being, we still have to look at one thing. This person who's arrested, is he getting the presumption of innocence? And is he getting the protections of our system? And will he then be prosecuted properly? And if he's convicted, the conviction is one that merits a conviction.
Pat, how convinced are you that jurors abide by their oath to honor the presumption of innocence, especially when a defendant doesn't testify, which is very common, I would imagine, in cases that you handle? Do jurors really get that, and do they honor it, in your opinion?
And that is the job of the trial lawyer. When we look at this, the truth is, the first thing they hear from a judge is the charges against the person sitting there. And this before we even question the jury. This man is, whatever the charges, but let's say it's murder. This person on this such and such a date committed the act of murder in that he shot so-and-so with a handgun. That's the first thing they hear. They look over at the table, and sitting next to the defense attorney, and no matter what he does, they're going to have a negative impact. If he's smiling, look at him. If he's got his head down, look, he's guilty. he'll never look good there. So it's the job of that attorney, defense attorney, and I would say prosecutor, to look at the juries and make sure they're going to follow through with it. The questioning has to be so that you can determine if they can be someone who will be fair and listen to the evidence. And there's ways of doing it. And the truth is, the more experienced lawyer, the better he's going to be at it. And the experience of the jury is important. Because we're looking at people, we're trying to make a determination by what they read, what they watch, whether they can be fair, do they hesitate. But if you pick that juror and he's on there, you've got to tell them in closing statement that that's their job. And it's there to make sure, again, that only guilty people are being convicted.
Now, you are in the middle of a jury trial out in DuPage, is that right?
Yes.
And how is that being handled? Are the jurors actually in the courtroom?
Yes, yes. And DuPage has done, appears to be, as good a job as possible. They have taken their biggest courtroom. They have separated the jurors' chairs by at least 6.5 feet. Which takes out some of the what we call the middle of the trial courtroom. The judge, the court reporter, the witness, and the clerk are all behind partitions. Everyone else in the room has to wear a mask, including the jurors. The attorneys can take off their mask if they want to talk behind a partition. The good thing is, and I probably would have not proceeded with the trial, but the witness is behind a partition with no mask on. And that's very important to the defense attorneys, and I'm sure the prosecutor too, because then we can see how he reacts to questions, how he answers questions. We're testing the credibility and reliability of the witness. So they're doing a good job on this. It's a county that has decided that they have to have these trials. Cook County is not doing these trials, which means people who are sitting in custody who would like their trial can't. And there might be doing innocent people who would win in a jury trial, maybe sitting in jail much longer than they should have to.
Let's one last question before we have to take a break. You have an interesting history. You were a prosecutor for years, and now you're a defense lawyer. You're married to the Cook County public defender, Amy Campanelli, who's a fabulous woman and a fabulous lawyer and a fabulous public figure. Looking at all this and having the experience of watching your wife be an administrator for a big organization that is important as the public defender's office, and having been a prosecutor yourself, what are the qualifications that you think a good state's attorney should have?
Well, the first two is integrity and independence. And then, of course, the ability to be a trial lawyer, but those first two are very important. And the problem I have with the independence that we don't see, I have seen this while I was a prosecutor. Remember, the state's attorney swears to the Constitution of the United States and swears to the Constitution of Illinois. His job is to protect it. Same thing with a police officer, and same thing with a judge. But that's kind of the funny part about this, because the police officers and the prosecutor are always the ones trying to get around the Constitution. They're always saying it's not applicable here, and then a judge has to make the same decision. So you have to have an independent prosecutor who will tell the office, I'm not doing that. I've been doing this for 34 years, and the only time I've seen a prosecutor say, I agree with you, and with dismissing the charges, was once in a non-Cook County, non-DuPage, non-Will County. So they have said too many times, I'm going to leave it up to the judge. I know you're right, but I'm going to leave it up to the judge. To me, that's questionable. If you know that the rights were violated, then you should dismiss the charges or at least submit to that error so that evidence is suppressed. But we never see that. And very few state's attorneys have ever done something like that or prosecutors.
Patrick Campanelli, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time and good luck with your jury trial. And will you join us again?
Yes, thank you.
All right, Patrick.
Justice prevail in the jury trial.
All right, take care.